Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace family.
Peace.
We are in the
peace,
building.
Peace. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My own. You can hear me?
Peace family. We hear you, family. We hear you loud and clear. Give us some.
Hey, see that? You see how I'm trying to make sure
we're good so y'all can hear me, right?
Give us some. We
talking
back and forth right now.
All right, cool. Peace, family. We back. We had some slight technical difficulties at the beginning, but this is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
In the building.
Abarigani Hotel. Assalamu alaikum. Mufasa Rai is here with you.
That's right, and we are Collective Minds Radio. We back again for another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. And we have another great show lined up today, another great discussion. But before we get started, y'all, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for us?
I had a good week. I do want to spend a little bit of time to acknowledge the two children that was killed here in St. Louis over the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard. I sent you some information about the second child that was shot yesterday. And I know we've already spoke about the 10-year-old girl that was outside with her father. And so today they did announce that it was a second child. Unfortunately, they lost his life, so I just want to send some prayers to the family, you know, and let's just try to be careful out here in these streets, you know, be a little bit more respectful and learn how to problem solve a little bit better than what we're doing. But I did want to just send a, you know, a special prayer out to the family.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, how was your week, brother?
Yeah.
You got any announcements for us?
Yeah, my week was challenging, you know, because I'm adding on to what Queen Roger said about these kids losing their lives. And correction, Roger, that was I thought it was a young female. Come to find out it was a young male. That was the 10-year-old who was shot on the porch with his father. Either way, it really don't matter. A child losing their life is horrible, especially losing their life violently. So, you know, that's bothered me throughout the week. Before that, last weekend, it was a situation where two kids was running from the police. One was 14, one was 15. And in the mix of them running from the police, they jumped over a fence and fell down into a creek and drowned. So that's been on my mind as well, just our youth that are losing their life senselessly over crime. It always touches me and it bothers me. So, yeah, I'm with you, Roger, and your thoughts on that. And I'm trying to not let that weigh me down. You know, the other comment I want to touch on, if y'all hadn't seen it, there was a video going viral of a young lady who was involved in a traffic violation with a white man. She was a sister from the Nation of Islam. And in the mix of the traffic violation, she was reaching in the glove compartment for her insurance. information, and the white man who questioned it, he grabbed her, saying he thought she was getting ready to try to run. Was led into an altercation where people were videoing it from across the street. They saw the scuffle going on, and they, you know, got involved. Because when they got involved, he pulled a gun on them. He brandished his gun on them. Luckily, he didn't shoot anyone. The police came. The police locked him up. But from the car, I mean, he had his gun out when the police came. He pulled out when they came. And guess what? He's still alive. He didn't get shot. Put him in the car. He trying to holler out racial slurs through the car at the lady. You know, so that's a story that happened in Buffalo, New York, that people, you can research on that. Out of control.
I was going to see if you mind mentioning the other incident you shared with me over the weekend about the guy that followed the black male into the store or something and shot him. You said he felt threatened by his music.
That's a young man. You can read his story in the up and coming Final Call newspaper. Young man who he had got off work. I think he was 17 years old. Young black kid was walking into a gas station, and this white guy followed him into the gas station, and the young kid was listening to his music, you know, and it was the type of music that a lot of our young folks listen to, some recklessness, ratchet stuff. And so the white man claimed he felt threatened by the music that the young boy was playing, the young child, let me correct myself, was playing, and he stabbed the young man in the back and cut his throat. Come to find out, he had just got out of jail himself, and now he's trying to play crazy, saying that, you know, he has some mental issues. So with all that being said, to further let you all know, we are in, Brother K have always said best, we are at war. We need to understand
facts.
What we're going through here. People, be careful.
Right.
Protect yourself. Follow our divine leader, teacher, and guide. And the most honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan. That's my guy. That should be your guy as well. And if you didn't see him today, that's what I was going to finish with. He spoke today for Mas Merriam in Chicago. Ooh, if you didn't hear his lecture, go to NOI.org.
That's right.
Check it out. The man came out looking so regal. Oh,
right.
Glowing. Glowing at 86
yes,
years
sir.
Old. You know,
yes,
that's
looking
how
like King Joffrey.
To power. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yes,
so go
indeed.
Check that lecture
yeah,
out.
That was powerful.
Go check it out. You know, he hated by a lot of people, but hey, if you really get to understand the man, you'll know. You know what he's all about. Know that he is a man of God and he's a righteous man. He's just fighting for truth, righteousness, and he's afraid to speak truth to power. And that's what we need.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, before we get to the show, y'all, I do got a quick announcement. Just real quick, as we come to the end of the cancer season, because I just realized there's been a lot of cancer birthdays going down. And we on the end of cancer season, about to head into Leo. So I just want to shout out all the cancers, my niece, my cousin, a few friends. They all had birthdays, you know, this past weekend or this past month or so. So I just want to shout out to all the cancers. And also, yeah, I came across this article in Popular Science magazine. It's on the newsstands now. And it's called the new artificial intelligence, right? It's called the new artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence is AI. And I just wanted to put this out there on the horizon just for the family to be on the lookout, because with this artificial intelligence thing, this stuff is deep. And Google is leading the way. I'm talking about, they have robots. Y'all probably already know about robots that can play chess. They got robots that can play video games. They got robots that are walking, running. Now, it might seem simple, but they've been trying to get robots to run on two legs and walk and pick up things for a long time. So now this technology has finally been perfected in the last, let's say, 10, 20 years. And these robots are thinking. These robots can, you know, have conversation. Anybody who's ever dealt with Siri or Alexa or these type of things know that, you know, these things can answer questions. They can have conversations. And the technology is getting more and more efficient. You know, it's getting more and more human-like. Yeah, they can have satellite. They can do all type of things. So I just wanted to put that out there to the family to be on the lookout. And there's also a thing called deep face, right? It's called deep, D-E-E-P, face, as in face, F-A-C-E. And with this technology, if you have a video of a person, you can make them say whatever you want. Like if you go online right now, there's a video of Obama with him speaking, but with the deep face technology, they made him say something in a video that he did not even say, but it looks completely real. You see what I'm saying? It looks completely real. So I say all that to say, to just remind what Mufasa just said, that we are at war. So everything that you're going to see on TV, even social media, may not be real, right? Because we are at war and there are certain agendas that, you know, are to be put in place. And with this deep face technology and this AI technology, it's getting real deep. And, you know, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. Because like I said, with this deep face technology, is deep. They could take a video of anybody, have them say anything, and it looks real. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there because I came across this article, and it was deep, just talking about everything that the artificial technology can do and how Google and Microsoft and all these different companies are actually putting billions of dollars into this particular research in order to further this artificial intelligence. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out for the family. Be aware, be on the lookout. And like I say, that magazine is on the newsstands now. It's in Popular Science. It's definitely worth a look, you know, if you're interested in that type of thing, as I believe we all should be aware, you know, of our surroundings and what's going on out there. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there for the family. And this is Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are back for another week. We're going to have a powerful, good discussion today. We are talking about what would you do if you caught your teenage daughter having sex? And just the preference, this conversation, right, I know people don't want to think about that, but we're going to get into that. We're going to get into, you know, disciplinary action. We're going to get into whoopings and parenting as a whole. You know, we're going to talk about that. So this conversation was actually inspired by a viral video that was online of a gentleman who they say he caught his daughter, found out that his daughter, 12-year-old daughter to be exact, was having sex. And when I say he put the belt to her butt, he did just that. And, you know, it was recorded. They ended up taking the video down. But that inspired this whole conversation with Collective Minds. So we wanted to bring this conversation to the family and give everybody a chance to share their opinions as far as how they will handle this situation and what type of measures they do to discipline their children. So give us a call, family, at Collective Minds. The number is 929-477-1697. This is Collective Minds Radio. We all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started and dive into this topic. And we always go to Queen Rigel first. So we're going to ask her, what would you do if you caught your teenage daughter having sex or you found out they were sexually active? How would you handle that?
Yeah, because there is a difference between actually catching them and then learning about it.
Right, that's true.
Because when you catch them, I don't know what I would do. That's just an honest answer. I don't know how I would respond to such a thing. I know for a fact that I wouldn't approve of it and I wouldn't like it, but how I would actually respond and what I would do is hard for me to say unless I was actually within that experience. But I'm certain that I would be upset about it, and I know I wouldn't. It's not something that I would approve of. Now, how I would go from there and where it would go from there based off of my dissatisfaction, I don't know. You know, it's like I think so many things go into play when you're thinking about this. You have to, I mean, even like with the history of the child, you know, what type of child was this, you know, just prior, you know, what type of problems and issues did the child give me beforehand? Who was the child having sex with? Was it a grown man? Was it someone of her peer? Were they, I hate to say it, I mean, what type of sex? What, how was they getting down? You know, was it, you know, raunchy?
Right,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Keep
was it
simple.
From the back type of, okay?
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
We need to keep it simple. Just say it's somebody their age. We don't want to get it.
Let's just keep it simple.
It's somebody their age.
Okay. Okay. Right. But even still, you know, it's hard for me to say exactly how I would respond to my dissatisfaction at that moment. But I will say this. I'm okay with whooping. I'm not one of those parents that say, don't hit the child, you know, just sit down and talk to her about it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. If I choose a slapper, I think I'm okay, and I think that's in my right, and I think that is justifiable at that moment.
Oh.
Now, yes, I do, I do, you know. But like I said, how I react, I'm just throwing it out there because I know we're going to touch base on discipline. You know, so I threw that out there. But honestly, like I said, I really don't know how I would react, you know, what I would do at that moment, just knowing that I would be upset. And if I just learned that she was sexually active, then depending on how I learned about it, you know, did I, well, we just, you know, girls talk, you know, was it one of those mom and girl talks where, no, she unfortunately didn't come to me first, but we are at a, you know, we're having a talk now, and she just opened up at that moment, you know, so that's a whole new thing, you know. So I would, in that case, I would probably continue to talk positively, you know, and, you know, kind of refrain from my anger. Because I'd be more pleased that we are having a discussion about it now, you know, and then just kind of moving forward with, you know, how to properly do things from here on out. But my goal is to encourage her, especially depending on the age as well. When we're talking about someone 12, 13, would be to discourage her from that type of behavior, try to learn why she feels like this is something that she needs to do. No, I want to know why she's thinking about it at that age. I would definitely have to reorganize our lifestyle and the way that we live, the way that I do things, because I also would have to change as a mother if my young child is doing something like that. I think I also need to reevaluate my way of doing things as a parent, and so I would definitely do that. And it would also start with supervision. Apparently, she's not being supervised enough properly, and we must not be talking enough. So I would definitely reevaluate how we are communicating, try to get that connection a little bit better than what it was, change up some home things as far as curfew, her circle, maybe her friends and things like that. Her circle needs to be reevaluated. So all these things we would definitely talk about, and I will have to revisit her friends, you know, maybe even the school that she's in. You know, the person, the place, where, you know, where did it happen at? So a lot of these things I want to revisit with her and probably change some things. And not probably, those things would definitely need to change. And then I can continue on, you know, I can stop there.
All right. Yes, yes indeed, sir. Family. If you're just joining Collective Minds Radio, that was Queen Rigel. I'm Cosmic Kev, and we got Brother Mufasa. We'll get to the call lines here in a second. But we are talking about parenting, discipline, whooping, spankings, whatever you want to call it. What would you do if you caught your teenage daughter having sex, or you found out they were having sex? Either way, how would you handle that situation, and what would you do? And we're going to let Brother Mufasa explain how he would handle that.
Go ahead, Queen Rigel. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap.
Smack,
he
smack.
Said, slap him. Smack him. Well, hey,
smack,
I'm going to start by saying, in regards to the video that we saw, I understand that father being angry and furious, infuriated. Y'all know what I'm saying, too. Furious. I understand all that.
Right.
I don't believe in the public humiliation of beating your kid or spanking your kid. So I wouldn't have done that. Now, that's where he went wrong,
Facts.
In my opinion, is recording it and putting it out there for the public to see. Some things everybody don't need to see. They don't need to see how I'm disciplining my kid. That could be, you know, traumatic for that kid. She got to go back to school. You know what I'm saying? People know who she is. So, you know, people, if her self-esteem ain't high enough, she might kill herself over something like that. So, no, I don't believe in video recording and sending it out there like that. Now, I ain't going to lie. I could be petty and record it to show her from time to time. Look, you remember this now. You remember what happened to you. You just don't want this to happen again. But I would do it out there for the world to see. So bringing it back to how I would handle it is, first off, my kids, and if we're talking about a 12-year-old, 13, whatever, my kids should already know the rules of my house and the rules of when they go to other people's houses. I always talk to my kids on how they should carry themselves away from home and at home. So ain't no adults only people having sex in my house is the adults. So if I catch you in my house, you already know. It's going down. Yeah, you are going to get some physical abuse. Sorry, but you already knew the rules. You know nobody has sex in my house but the adults, but me and my woman. Now, no children have sex in my house. And you know how to catch it when you leave. I already explained these things to you because I explain stuff to kids. Like Roger said, communication and talking to your kids, these are things that you should already do before this kind of stuff happens. So, yeah, my kid already know it's going down. Now, after I get through tying that tail up, then I'm down and I'm going to talk with him and explain to him again of, you know, having control over your emotions, you know, treating yourself as a sacred entity, you know, and trying to explain to them that you have time for those things. You know, you have time to have sex in the future. You know, take care of your body. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've been young, too. And I know kids get hot, you know, as girls and boys, they get hot. They want to do stuff. It happens. But if you break a rule, and that's the rule, no having sex in my house, no having sex, carry yourself right outside the house, you got to get punished for that. I don't care if your emotions got out of control or not. You got to get punished. You broke the rule, it's going down. And then we can sit down and talk about it after. So I believe in spanking. I do. I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm with the shit.
All right.
I'm with it. Because I'll say this real quick. I'm going to make it plain. Understand talking to. Some kids you can sit down and explain and they get it. But there are some kids who don't get it. Some kids you just got to be hands-on. They only understand the hands-on approach. So you do have to know what you're dealing with your kids. and I pass the mic.
Right. All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Collective Minds Radio, y'all. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We are talking about what would you do if you caught your teenage daughter having sex. And we'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. I just want to address the issue real quick. Like for me, you know, I didn't kind of turn the leaf as far as when it comes to whoopings and all that, but we'll get to that later. In this particular situation with the video of the father spanking or whooping his daughter because he found out she was having sex, my thing is, because let me just give you this context for the listeners real quick. I am a father. My kids are not quite teenagers yet. They're still under 10, you know, so I am a father, and I am, you know, reevaluating how I discipline and take actions when they disobey, you know, things that I say or we say as parents. So my thing is, we have to be, as parents, we have to be proactive, and also we have to be honest and real, you know, about the kids, right? So as a parent, we should be observing our kids and children when they start to like boys or like girls, when those feelings start to come about. You know, like the old heads used to say, when they start smelling themselves. You feel what I'm saying? We know when those type of things happen, because if we're honest, we understand that having sexual feelings and desires for the opposite sex is completely normal. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So we don't ever want to shame them into thinking there's something wrong with them because they have these feelings. No, that's perfectly normal. That's how we all got here. And that's just an energy and a force that you're not going to stop because it's human nature. So it's best, like Mufasa said, is to communicate these ideas when they start having those feelings. Like I say, you should nip this in the bud. When you see that they start to, you know, care about their looks, they start to dress a different way, they start to look at boys a different way, they start to talk on the phone to boys and things like that. Like all those things, as parents, we should be analyzing their behavior and what they're doing, because those feelings are going to come eventually. So those are good times. As soon as it happened, boom, you need to hop on it, have that talk. Okay, the pros and cons about sex. You know, sex is not something you should play with. You know, you can get diseases. You could get terminal disease. You could get things that you can't cure. Like, all those things should be a part of the conversation. That way you putting as much information out there to them so they understand that the decisions that they're making. And like I said, we shouldn't make the kids feel like it's something wrong with them because they have these feelings. Because it's not. We've all been young. We've all been there. It happens. You know, that's just part of human nature. So my thing is, if I was to catch them in the act in my house, oh, yes, that would be a problem, because I would establish that, you know, that cannot, that type of behavior is not allowed in my house at this particular age. You know what I'm saying? Probably never, because you're my child, but that behavior is not allowed in my house. So we're definitely going to have that talk. Now, for me, I'm not going to whoop them. You know, I'm going to be angry. I'm going to be mad, but I'm not going to whoop them. I'm going to take away some of their privileges. Basically, I'm going to make it hard for them as far as, you know, conducting regular bit. Things that they like to do or things that they enjoy, I'm going to take those away for a period of time, and I'm going to explain to them why I'm doing it. And, you know, hopefully that kind of conveys the message, you know, because my thing is, I just want my kids to be open and honest. So any type of things that they are feeling, if they can come to me and tell me and be truthful, I'm with that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to get too mad to where I physically abuse them, because the next question is, what am I trying to accomplish by physically hitting them? Is this something I'm taking personal? Is this something that I think that they did something to me, or am I really trying to educate them on their behavior and the dangers of their behavior and how this behavior could potentially affect them for the rest of their life. You know what I'm saying? So what is the goal? Like, because a whooping is temporarily. And my thing is, if you whoop them, that's only going to teach them to sneak around. Okay, I can't come to my parent and talk to them because I know they go get mad and blow up and blah, 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 this and that. You know what I'm saying? So they're not going to really want to come and confide in you, which they should be able to do as the parent, because as a parent, we're supposed to love our kids unconditionally, meaning under any condition, really. You know what I'm saying? There are certain conditions, of course, but for the most part, you're supposed to love your kids no matter what they do. If they kill somebody, you're going to explain to them, okay, yeah, this is wrong, you're going to get punished, but you're still going to love them as your child. You see what I'm saying? So that's the kind of the stance I take. You know, I'm not going to physically beat them because I don't think that's really going to accomplish anything or get the message across. You dig what I'm saying? So, like I say, my position would be to nip that in the bud before that happens. But if that was to happen, then yes, we would conversate, and I would probably just take away a few privileges that they have in order to punish them, because I do believe some type of punishment or, you know, disciplinary action should take place, but I wouldn't physically beat them. You know, I just turned a new leaf on that.
Beat them.
And I don't think that's physical. I don't think that's appropriate.
I mean, it's one thing to say beat, and it's another thing to, you know, still do some physical, you know, pressure. It
right,
doesn't
well,
have
any,
to be.
Any type
see,
of
just
physical.
You, just,
any
yeah,
type of physical.
You may do
I'm not
a,
with.
Just because a child may get a whooping or something, that doesn't mean it's a beating. Even if I backhand slap my child in the mouth for saying something smart, that's not a beating.
Right.
That's
physical
not a beating.
Punishment.
Yeah, that is physical punishment. That's, but physical punishment, I mean, I know you. It sounds anyway that you're saying that that's a bad thing. It doesn't have to be bad. It can. It's a tool that can be used
no.
properly. I'm not with abuse. And just because you may give a child a whooping, that doesn't mean that that is being abusive. Why?
Let me ask you this.
Why do you put it in the same category?
Because it is abuse. It's physical abuse. So by you smacking them, what are you like, what are you trying to accomplish? Or what are you feeling that you feel like you have to hit them in order to make a point? Like, I'm trying to get the thought process. As far as what are you feeling?
I'm feeling
disrespected.
Like the
it's
child,
okay if like you if the child says something crazy and disrespects you, a slap in the mouth is appropriate.
Yeah,
so now
if they use their mouth and their words to
right.
say something inappropriate to me as a
right.
parent and as an adult,
right.
then yes, a smack in the mouth is okay.
So now when they go to school and somebody says something to them that they feel disrespectful or they feel like they shouldn't have said that, is it okay for your child to smack them?
No, they only have one parent. I said I'm a parent. I mean, if my child, let's see what I personally feel like has to be established, a mother or a father, a parent role is different from a friend role. So it's just a different thing. So if me as a parent, my child says something disrespectful to me, if I say, hey, time to go to bed, you know, turn your light off, put your phone up, and they say, I'm not doing that, or screw you, mom, or just some random disrespectful stuff like that, yes, I can smack them in the mouth for what they said and take the phone. I'm the parent. I'm paying the bill in the first place. I'm taking care of you. So you have to establish a line of respect as a parent. I think a parent role is different from just some kid at school.
Right.
You wanna
but
know
what
why?
I'm saying is, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can explain. Yeah, you can explain.
Well, because for one, a kid at school, first off, you do ideally try to teach and apply to yourself as well to look over certain things. But when, as a parent, we are in a role where we have to guide them and teach them and help lessons, you know, life lessons. So that's what I'm here to do as a parent. I can't neglect that role, and I do think that in some cases, not all, we try to establish that, so I'm going to make sure that I'm very clear with my position here. I'm not saying that every single thing and every single child you have to haul off on. So I said it's a tool that can be used when it is appropriate, and I'm not saying to overdo it. It has to be applied correctly. I'm not saying you bust a kid upside the head and bust their head to the white meat, and I'm not saying kicking them and all that. I'm just saying doing it in an appropriate manner, which it is an appropriate manner, that's established using a hand or a belt, not a fist. I wouldn't personally
right.
say a fist, but I would use an open hand to a mouth. I wouldn't necessarily.
I'll punch a kid in the chest.
But
I'll punch a kid in the chest.
But I would take an open hand and smack the lips if they said something crazy. I would take a belt and smack the butt or my hand. And slap the butt.
Right.
I'm not going to punch you in the eye. At that point, we're fighting.
Punch him. Right in their chest.
Right. So let's go a little deep. Let's go a little deep. Right.
Okay.
But let's go a little deep.
I'm
going to say,
why don't we bring
this
the cards
early?
In right quick before you go?
Okay, hold on, real quick,
because
I'm going to make this quick. I ain't going to even go just yet. I'm going to just make this real quick because you touched on conflict resolution or how to resolve problems and resolve issues. So my thing is, what are we teaching our kids by physically beating them in order to resolve an issue? And this is a thing that's in the black community, and that's why we have a lot of the issues we have, because we don't know how to resolve simple conflicts, because a lot of us grew up in households where beatings and spankings was normal. You see what I'm saying? That was normal, and I could point to that actually stems from slavery, because the slave master beat the enslaved Africans, so the women learned quickly.
I'm not
that,
beating my child like a
you know,
slave
but
master.
But what I'm saying is it's still physical punishment, and the women learned that okay. Before the slave master can beat my child, I'm going to beat them to protect them. It's kind of a psychological thing where you don't want the slave master to beat them, so you beat your child because you don't want the slave master to beat him because you know how he gonna do it. And that's the same thing if we fast forward to today, people be like, well, I'm gonna beat my son, I'm gonna be hard on him. As black people, we need to be hard on him because the world out here, the system, this and that, we don't want them to get him. You see what I'm saying? So we, in turn, beat our kids to protect them from the system. But what
I'm
saying is, what are you teaching them? Right, so what are you teaching them as far as how to resolve conflicts without physical violence?
Okay, because like I said before, I didn't say anything about beating. Like you keep saying, I didn't say anything about beating. I said it can be applied appropriately. And that is to help the child learn how to follow instructions and listen and know that there are consequences to their actions. Sometimes you have to be more rigorous depending on the circumstance and situation. That doesn't – and I'm advocating that it's okay to spank a child. And I have two and raised two, raising my second one. I didn't have to whoop them a lot. But it was applied, yes, and I had to discipline them. I had to discipline them, but I didn't whoop them every time I disciplined them. I didn't beat them. I can count on probably both hands how many times I whooped both of my children. By the time they reached age of 6 or 5, they didn't have to get another whooping. My 13-year-old haven't been whooped probably since she was about 4 years old. I just had a daughter that just turned 20. I probably hadn't whooped her since she was about 3 or 4.
I'm not saying that you have to whoop every time to discipline.
And when you do it, for me, I'm speaking for the parent who is not whooping because I'm saying, oh, I'm going to get you before the such and such get you. No, I'm getting you because you have disobeyed, and you have to learn that there are consequences to your actions. I want you to learn that, yeah, and you can apply that to the world because for anybody that's living here, if you don't do certain things the right way, there are consequences to the act, to your actions.
Right. So you don't think, but you don't think that there are other ways to show that there are consequences to your actions besides physical?
If I didn't think that, I would whoop them. I would have whooped them every time that they done something. I'm only saying that it's okay if it's applied appropriately. And like Mufasa said, you have to know your child too. So if I'm saying that if I'm a parent that feels like it's okay when it's necessary, and I didn't have to whoop my kid every, you know, it's been years since I had to apply whooping, and I have to discipline them, but I don't choose to whoop them every time because it's not necessary. So it's only when it's necessary. And I do think that there are some times when it can be necessary, not every single time and not for every single child. But there are some times in some situations and some children at some time that may need
to go down.
So now look,
and
now
if
look.
Gonna feel, if you're going to sit here and say that there is no time ever you should ever spank your kid and whoop your kid, okay, well, then we sound like we're
No, we're not, because I don't think there is a time, because by the time you get to the physical abuse, it's too late. Like, you need to be having these conversations, because let me check this out. You're raising a daughter.
Don't forget the call line.
It would be out of character for her to, because we had gave an example when we had this conversation earlier. It would be out of character for her to spit in somebody's face, punch them, and cuss them out. That's not even in her character up to this point. So, therefore, those things kind of build up. A child doesn't just one day wake up and just do something off the wall. These things build up and take time. So, as a parent, you should be nipping these things in the bud from birth as best you can, from birth up until, you know, to whenever. But those things don't just happen. So it's not just like a kid is doing good one day and then all of a sudden they just go off the deep end and you feel like you got to whoop them. No, when you have to whoop them, you've already missed a few opportunities to teach them. That's why you're whooping them. So that's what I'm saying. If we nip these things in the bud and are more analytical, I'm talking to myself as well. If we nip these things in the bud and pay attention to our kids, we're more analytical, we're more proactive, we're paying attention to their different emotions and when they start to, you know, feel themselves, as the old heads used to say. You know what I'm saying? We can get those things in order before it even escalates to where you feel like you have to whoop them or spank them or smack them in the mouth or whatever. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't just happen in a vacuum. Your kid's not going to be just good, and then one day they just go out and do something where you got to, you know, where you have to.
Right, of course not. But unfortunately, we're dealing with reality. And the reality of it is, with all this high rate of birth, a lot of parents is not going to be that analytical. So we can get to the call lines. Cause I see where you're going. Let's get to the call lines and see if you can get another opinion.
Let's
here. Area code 315-767. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I've been listening. I got a couple of comments. One, can you hear me though?
Yes. Thanks, caller.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. We got you, caller. Appreciate you.
All right. So I have a daughter. She's going to start college next in the fall. And fortunately, I didn't have to go through the situation where, you know, you catch her having sex, because she had good parents that supervised her properly and set good ground rules for the house, just like Rigel said. So
there you go.
I was able to get through that. Now, on the spanking thing, I had to spank my daughter one time in her life. One time, she got a good raw dog spanking, and it changed her forever. I mean, she thought she was a sadistic little princess. She got that spanking, and she realized, oh, Lord, and then she got in line.
I don't like it.
It was like the rude awakening that she needed. Sometimes it has to be physical. You can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, but until you take action on that talk, it's just talk. Once you realize that, oh, Daddy does have some hands for that ass, there it is. And I never had a problem with her since. She's got a scholarship to go to college. She ain't had sex with nobody. She has self-respect, self-discipline, and she has a mind for going forward. So sometimes
right.
the whooping
so
is
you
in
think,
order.
Now, look, check this out. Let me ask you this, caller. Do you think you could have conveyed that message without giving out a spanking? You don't think so?
Nope, because we had been trying to convey that message for almost a year. After she got that whooping, everything changed. Message sunk in, because sometimes you just have to get that attention with the physical. And you don't have to be brutal. It's not brutal.
Exactly.
You don't do it
right.
out of hate. You do it because
exactly.
you love your child enough. You love your child enough to put up with the pain that it causes you to hit them. Because hitting your child is not fun.
No.
Knowing that your child is going to be mad at you because you whooped their ass is not a fun experience. So you have to love your child enough to put up with that until they understand and it comes out of that. So it's hard to whoop your child. It's not easy, and it's not just about whooping them. It's about the message you're trying to convey. Yes, and it's your princess. But you got to get her out of princess mindset.
Yeah, I had a hard time spanking my girls. You know, like I said earlier, two out of three girls, two of them I could count on one hand how many times I had to spank them. One was just, hey, this just is what it is. She was just going to constantly have to get in trouble. So it's just a difference that you got to know the particular child. Some you can just say something to, and they get it. Some, like the caller said, can take one spanking, boom, they done. And then you just
and
got
now, now we talk, and we talk, and we talk now. Now the spanking happened. It was been, you know, it's set in stone, and now we have awesome dialogue. We have amazing dialogue. She has questions. She has issues. She starts smelling herself. We talk about it. She talks about that stuff with her dad. I got her first training bra. I took her out there when she first was bleeding. I'm the one that did that stuff for her. And she has no, there's nothing between us and her.
Right. So this would be my question or response to what you just said. If you knew of a way to convey that same message without spanking her, would you use that instead of spanking?
If there was a way, yes, but there is not always, and there most of the times when it comes to that level, there ain't a way.
There is a way.
No, listen.
We just don't
know. Listen to this. Listen to this, Kev.
Okay.
Listen to this, Kev. She was about to get suspended from school for something we have been talking about since she started school. And she kept on not doing what she was supposed to be doing. No matter how much we talked about it, and she was 8. And an 8-year-old going on 9 doesn't have a rational mind. They kind of just do what they want to do. They're little animals. You're trying to turn them into little people. So she kept doing what she wanted to do, So one day when Dave told us they were about to suspend her because she keeps doing what she wants to do, I came home from work. And I said, this is a do-what-you-want-to-do day today, huh? And I whooped her. I said, I usually don't whip you when I want to because I want to talk to you and try to conversate with you, but it's a do-what-you-want-to-day day, so I want to whoop you, and we're going to get it down. And I whooped her. I whooped her 3 times that day because until that day was over, she got a whooping every 2 hours. That was enough time for my hand to stop hurting.
Well, why?
And then I go whoop her. And I whooped her. And I whooped my hand on her butt. I picked her up out of her bed, whooped her, and put her back to bed up until midnight. And then at 5 in the morning when I was getting ready to go to work, I came in and she's like, no, do what you want a day, it's done. There's no more whoopings as long as you do what you're supposed to do. As long as you do what you're supposed to do, there's no more whoopings. And she had a wonderful day at school. She did what she was supposed to do, and she's done what she's supposed to do ever since.
Gotcha.
You don't do what
you
want. You don't do what you want to do all the time. So she didn't want me to do what I wanted to do and whoop her ass. So she did what she was supposed to do, and she didn't get ass whooping.
Right. Look, this is what if you just joined us, family, it's Collective Minds Radio. We are going in about parenting discipline. You know, what would you do if you caught your daughter having sex and you found out that they were sexually active? What would you do? How would you handle it? We're talking about parenting discipline. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697.
Make sure he answered that. Carl, we want you to answer that question, though. How would you have handled it if you walked in on her having sex at 12?
If I would have walked in on her having sex at 12, I probably would have snatched her by her little neck, pulled them apart, and I would have taken it to her mama and said, "What the hell did I just catch them doing? Why is this happening in your house? She's coming with me."
Right.
And then we'd have to figure it out from there. Yeah, it would have been physical because I would have physically separated them. At 12, they're not ready.
Agreed.
And you have a lot of time up until then to ensure that when they are ready, it's appropriate. And that's a part of parenting. Mm-hmm. If they're doing that at 12, it's because there's something wrong with your parenting. It's not something wrong with the kid. It's your parenting.
Yeah.
Exactly, and
you don't have time for your kids.
It's the parenting.
And you don't have time. Yeah, if you don't have time to supervise them, if you don't have ground rules that you're willing to stand upon, and they know they can get away with whatever, then you're going to have those kind of problems.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. It's the parenting.
And that's what happens out here. A lot of these mamas don't even want these babies. These babies are born so they can get a welfare check. Or these babies are born just so that they can get a man stuck to them. These babies are born for resource purposes. Therefore, they're not putting any time into raising them. And that's why these children are having sex at such young age, because there's no actual love for them. It's all about resources to have these children.
Right. And I don't want to get too far off topic.
These aren't problems you're hearing about in families that are together and are actually doing something with their children appropriately. These are problems of families that are putting the children's needs to the side because they never cared for these children in the first place. They just care about the money these children bring in.
Right. Okay, we appreciate your call. We want to get to a couple more callers, but yeah, I appreciate that insight.
Hey.
Appreciate it. Right on. Yes, sir. But he said something that was very important. It comes down to the parenting. The children are only victims of the parenting and the environment. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be the bad guy, because I know that whoopings and spankings have been a part of Black society for a long time. And as I said, that stems from slavery. But I'm going to say this. If you have to spank your kids and whoop your kids, that is lazy parenting. And the reason why Listen. Look, you got to let me finish.
It's
lazy parenting because you have no other way of communicating your point other than to get physical. There are other ways that we just may not have thought of in order to convey these messages to our kids. You don't have to physically spank them. I just don't believe that. And what I want to do is just go to the experts. This is a article from Atlanta Black Star. I'm going to read real quick, and then we'll go to the call lines. It says, nearly all researchers have concluded that spanking is more harmful than helpful. Dr. Elizabeth Gershaw, professor of human development and family sciences at the University of Texas, has conducted several of the largest analyses as well as reviews on prior studies to look for trends. Her most recent review found that spanking is harmful in nearly all circumstances. She noted that 13 of 17 prior studies concluded that spanking led to more aggression, more antisocial behavior, more externalizing problems, e.g. misbehavior, more mental health problems, and more negative relationships with parents, lower morale, internalization, depression, anxiety, lower cognitive ability, and lower self-esteem. Now you go say, "Oh my God, this is a doctor who's done a study."
What makes her?
I don't care nothing about what
she
said.
Slow down because you're taking this person. Slow down.
She's the same doctor that won't these black kids be out here running, racking, and wild.
Now that goes back to my other point. You're spanking your kids because you're looking at society and what society is going to do to them.
That's not true.
Let me say this. Atlanta Black Star is a black publication, right? But what I'm saying is, we don't know what color this doctor is who done this research. You see what I'm saying?
We know who she working for.
Yeah.
The system.
Yeah.
Right, but
exactly.
Where has spanking got black people today? It's not like our behavior's improved. I asked this question too. The people that y'all know that got the most spankings, how did they turn out? They got beat like that. How did they turn
Brother
out?
Brother Kerry, let me answer that real fast.
Let me explain this to you.
Because, first off, if this study sounds like it's talking about a child that is raised in an abusive household, which we all clearly define the difference between a healthy disciplining
abuse
versus
and
abuse. And what this article sounds like is talking about children that were raised in homes where maybe the father was an alcoholic, he coming home just smacking folks around.
No.
But if you're talking about a child that, like what myself just described, what Mufasa just described, or Carl just described, where a child done something out of line, okay, I'm a whooping here. We already defined the difference between, okay, if a child may sometimes do something that may require a boundary, get it out the way, versus we're not saying come home and beat your kid every day for just nothing. We're not saying that. And that article is talking about a child that is raised in a hostile environment. That's the only Brother Kevin.
You haven't read the article
about the
power
line.
You just read the article.
I read an excerpt of an article.
Okay, but it doesn't matter because you cannot sit here. You cannot sit here and say and use that article and say to yourself that if you whoop a child, if an adult was raised and was whooped and throughout their life maybe three times, that they gonna be raised hating their parent, nervous and all that stuff over three whoopings, really? That doesn't sound like that makes sense.
No, it does because they're not. This is the effects that it has. Now let me just give you this too. The title of the article is "To Hit or
Life
Not to Hit: Spanking in the African American Community," which it does stem from white supremacy, aka slavery, which is why we beat our kids. This is what I'm trying
to
tell you.
You're saying beatings. We're not talking about beatings.
Physical, I'm sure everybody is against beatings.
I don't think anybody will call on this phone and say we're okay with beating a child.
But let me do this.
He considers any physical
any physicalness abuse. That's what it sounds like. If you just thump a child on the hand, that's abuse.
Okay, let me do this real quick, and then I'm gonna be honest. Since we live in our truth, I've pinched my babies. I've pinched and spanked. Yeah, that's abuse. So I'm guilty of that. I've never went as far as to get a belt or a switch. But let me say this, and this is a small little piece of the article as well. It says, "What is spanking? In everyday conversations, spanking." Or whipping, or whooping, or popping, or smacking is used to name a variation of behaviors. However, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, spanking is striking a child with an open hand on the buttocks or extremities with the intention of modifying behavior without causing physical injury. Other sorts of physical punishment, such as using a thin tree branch, quote-unquote switch or belt, is not considered spanking but falls within the broader category of corporal punishment. Significantly, neither spanking nor corporal punishment is generally considered child abuse by academics. So that basically kind of breaks down what people consider spanking and corporal punishment as far as going to grab a switch. Back in the day, you know, people used to go grab a switch and using belts and extension cords and things like that. You see what I'm saying? But any type of physical punishment, I feel like, is lazy parenting. Again, like I just said, I'm guilty of it too. But I just think, like, we have to be more diligent and more better communicators and explaining to our kids what's going on.
The only lazy parenting I may be guilty of is maybe buying a hamburger versus cooking one day that I'm tired. That's lazy parenting.
Let's bring another call in, y'all. We can get back to the debate.
Okay. Area code 314-568. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, I'm late on the conversation, but me and Kev talked about this earlier, and me and my wife are disputing about it right now. And I think what y'all are saying and what people fail to understand is it's a difference between beating and abusing and spanking.
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying? Somebody said something about I forgot what he said, but. At the end of the day, I've spanked both of my kids. I got a 13-year-old girl, 14-year-old girl, and I got an 8-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Did it before. Don't feel bad about it. And I can say that I know Kevin. I know Brother Kev personally. And your studies were saying that if you get spankings, you grow up as this bad, bad person. And I know you myself.
No,
and I'm sure in your life you've got a spanking in your life. No, you've got a whooping in your life.
Exactly.
Right.
Step out the box. Now step out the box and tell me that whooping or 10 or 11 or 50 that you done got in your life that mentally affected you in your adult life.
You still mad at mama? You still mad?
Hey.
No, but what I'm going to say
is, remember, we talked about this. Nope, that's Brother Kevin.
Uh-oh.
But back to the 20-year-old girl thing, now, real quick on that, and we spoke on that. I can't say that if I walk in on my 12-year-old daughter that it wouldn't get physical. Now, I most definitely ain't going to videotape it. But it would be real, real hard for me to seeing that to just say, okay, now let's talk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know. Me and my wife talk back. She say I talk too much. You know what I'm saying? All you do is talk. All you do is scream. That's what she say. Which to me, that's just my form of spanking. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But them studies, but them study numbers that you just said, them ain't right. Them wrong.
Hi. No. That's what we can't do. This lady works. She's done studies. She's interviewed people. Like, how you gonna say to these people wrong?
Hey.
That's a white lady. Because 99% of the black people
We don't know. We can do the process of elimination and figure it out, though. Right.
Yeah,
we don't know if she's white or black.
Brother Kev, me and you didn't agree with each other on that, but do you agree with them studies that them studies that they were saying?
Yes, I believe it causes kids to be more aggressive, and it gives them
beat.
More problems. So what I'm saying
I,
is,
I,
what
if
I'm saying
beat
is,
every day, yeah, if they're beat
no,
every
I think
day,
that
you're
life,
right.
I think that life is gonna cause kids to be more, way more aggressive than a parent at home disciplining them.
Right, but what
you
I'm saying is, see, y'all just talking about talking. I'm saying there's other ways to discipline our children if we just do those ideas. There's
well,
other
well,
ways
like
to
I said,
kids without physically beating them, because physically beating them,
well, brother,
that pain will go away.
Beating,
the only thing
why
you teach them is
beating?
How to
you
sneak
said,
around
you
better.
Said other ways. You said other ways, Kevin. I can go in there and my daughter, she get in trouble, and I can say, here, I'm either going to give you a whooping or I'm going to take your phone. What you think she going to tell me to do?
But Kev, tell so if you walked in with your 12-year-old daughter having sex, you saying you already know hands
down
it's not going to get physical. You know it's not.
You're going to take her phone.
You can tell her about this phone. You're going to be able to restrain yourself, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's not going to get physical. No, I can tell you that now. I mean, I'm a yanker.
Okay, well, tell us.
I'm going to physically stop the act and get the little boy about the house, especially if they're in my house. But, again, that goes back to supervising your kids, the supervision, knowing where they are, what they're doing as much as
then
you can.
Then what you going to do?
We were supervised thoroughly in our life, Kevin. There's plenty of stuff that we did that we shouldn't have been doing.
But what I'm saying is, well, I would say this. For me personally, I had a lot of freedom as a kid. You know what I'm saying? Luckily, we wasn't into too much stuff. But I had a lot of freedom. You know what I'm saying? My mom was working, doing her thing, and making sure the bills and household was held down. So I had a lot of freedom. So, but luckily, I wasn't into too much things. You dig what I'm saying?
Right. That
goes back to the supervision. And then again, the supervision is different from little boys and little girls. You know, that's just the reality.
Oh, hold on. That's another topic we got to have in my household.
Right. So all I'm just saying is I'm going to physically restrain her. But, no, we're going to talk. I'm going to take some of her privileges away. You know what I mean? Whatever she loved doing, that's going to be cut out. You dig what I'm saying? Whatever it is she loved the most is going to be cut out. You ain't getting no joy. You ain't getting no shoes. You ain't going shopping. All that stuff is going to be cut out until we come to some type of agreement that you understand your behavior is incorrect. The spanking, you spank them.
With your child?
Hold on, listen, what? Check this out. You spank them, that pain goes away by the next day. You still buying them stuff, you still letting them go to the show, still letting them go to friends' house.
No,
that's what I'm saying. What are we doing?
No, you have
what are we trying to
do it again?
Not spanking them.
Brother Kevin,
what if
you
do it again, Kevin?
No one.
If she do it again, then what you do? After you didn't talk to them,
they still going skating.
What you going to do after that, though? If they do it again, what do you do after that? After you done talked and took the phone away and stuff. If they do it again,
all the
you come
that
back
they
home
lose,
a week later.
All the ice cream.
And that same little dusty, dirty boy that snuck in your house again.
Listen.
And they having sex again and you catch them. What you going to do then?
They going to have to be like David Blaine I'm going to monitor their every move. I'm watching. Like they on punishment. What do you think? They on punishment. They're not doing anything.
No, he's saying what you gonna do when they get off of punishment and it happen again.
Take the stuff back again. No. Because this is the thing we gotta understand. At the end of the day, and I said this before, at the end of the day, and y'all may disagree, our children are not our property. They are our responsibility.
Oh,
so ultimately, ultimately, their decisions in life, they're going to have to deal with those decisions that they make. And that's the message we need to convey to them, that whatever they do, we're the parents. We can tell them right from wrong. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to deal with it because we didn't live our life. You get what I'm saying? What's that?
It's only so much understanding and preaching to a 12-year-old, to a young teen that they go listen to. You know what I mean?
Right, but hitting them is not going to necessarily stop that. That's my point.
No, Amy, we can't say that wasn't exactly going to stop them, but I'm just saying at the end of the day, you spanking your kid is not going to ruin their life the way them studies said. It ain't. I got
it might say they like.
But no.
It might say they like. Yeah, it might say your life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. Well, we're going to try to get to some more callers. We appreciate you calling for chiming
Thanks,
in.
Right on,
brother. Appreciate
you
that.
Yeah, appreciate it. Right on.
Absolutely.
But now, look at this. I bet. Now, I'm going to just go out on a limb. I ain't got no empirical evidence on this or nothing. But if you look at the mugs that are in jail, I bet you a lot of them grew up in households where they got whoopings. Like, this is not something I'm just saying. They're studying
probably beating. Now you
want to
change the word. Probably beating. It's probably beatings, like you said. Because there's a difference between being in an abusive home where people is not, they're actually beating you, like you said, with a fist. They kicking you. Stuff like that, throwing stuff at you and cussing you out and being abusive to you where they all down your
putting hot grief on you.
So you're right in those types of situations, and those are the types of situations that is occurring. You cannot sit here and tell me that a child that has a healthy whooping here and there, maybe two or three times out of their lifestyle, they're going to be angry, grow up angry and mad at the world, hate their parents, aggressive and all that over three whoopings. Come on now. I'm not buying it.
No, not three whoopings. No, we're not saying three whoopings. The study was saying generally those are the effects of whoopings on kids. Those are the general effects. And I can see that because it would cause you to be aggressive if your parent, listen though, if your parent, the person you're learning from, if they're physically aggressive towards you, you're going to look at that behavior as okay to get physically aggressive if someone does something or says something to you. That's
natural. I got to ask you a quick question. Okay, let me ask you a quick question. So the same people who did this study, right? I bet you if they saw a police officer getting into altercation with some young black boy and the police officer got physical and beat his ass, I bet you they wouldn't find no problem with that.
I don't know. That's neither here nor there. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that then they don't have a problem with beating in. But the parent, we got issues with the parent chastising kid, but the police officer, it's okay for him to crack your head. They cool with that. And you see that, we don't get no justification or no justice behind that. Police can beat you, shoot you, do all types, especially to our people, and nothing happens. These are the same people that's writing their report of yours. They on that side. The parent can't chastise
I don't
kid,
know.
But the police officer can.
I don't know, but what I'm trying to explain is, like I said, because I've turned a 180 on this because I used to be for spanking. Used to be four spankings or whoopings or however you want to call it, taps, smacks, until I actually had kids. And I realized that this is a particular issue.
You don't
want to
see them cry.
No, that's not
normal.
Even it. It's
parents don't
want to
see their
–
they don't
want to
hurt them kids.
No,
they don't want to hurt their kids.
No, it's not about them crying because if I take some away – no, because if I take something away or stop them from doing something – I've seen them cry. Or if I communicated and tell them or even raise my voice, they've kind of got it. And I've seen, you know, a couple of my babies cry without me even spanking them because they realized what they did was inappropriate and how I felt, and I try to do my best as far as explaining to them what happened. And then they've even come back and apologized, which is kind of good because they realize what they did was wrong. And I think that has the same or even a better effect than physically hitting them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all about conveying the message. What are we trying to convey to our kids that their behavior is wrong? Or, you know what I'm saying? What are we trying to accomplish by spanking them?
We trying to accomplish that they need to listen to what I say. When I say do something, they need to listen to what I say and what I do. And I don't regret the 3 whoopings that I gave my children. And I don't think that they're aggressive people, anything like that. I'm sure they love me very, very much.
Of course. Of course.
So I don't. I don't think again. I don't see that these studies that they've done, or the one in
issues.
Particular that you talked about. I don't see how they create issues.
But just look at, okay, let me say this, and then we'll try to get to the call lines before we wrap it up. Let me just say this. If you look at the black community, or I wouldn't say community, black society, we have a history of whooping our kids. What positive effects has that had on us as a whole? As a group, what has that done to us as a group? And we make jokes about it. You know, most people talk about getting a switch and all type of stuff, but what has that done? This has been an ineffective way of disciplining our children. I promise you this, even though it's generational, we've been doing it for years, grandma, auntie, get the switch, but this has been ineffective, and we can look at our behavior and tell that it's been ineffective. Because if it worked, we would be straightened up and our communities would be in a much better situation. We would be more on code. We would be more progressive. We would be in a better state if whoopings worked.
I won't even address it right now. Let's get to the call real fast. We should have time for at least one more. Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Kevin, there you go again. When did this display of bad behavior begin?
As far as who? Talking about blacks?
Yeah. I mean, who else we talking about? When did this display of bad behavior begin? Around what year?
Well, I would say post integration.
Well,
when we integrated.
What year is that? So post integration, you had black families where the male was at home. The black prison population was probably like 15 across the country, but I'd give you say 50,000. So
okay.
If during that time that black parents was utilizing a discipline method. And see, here's the thing. Remember this. Back in them days, you got a whooping, quote unquote, for old and new. If you played outside and playing in the courtyard, and you know you're not supposed to do that and hit the ball and break out a window, well, you didn't get whooping right away. You went out 2 days later and done it again. You may not even get a whooping right away. But if you've done it a third time, a week later, you're going to get a whooping that's going to constitute all 3 times that you broke out Miss Brown's window. Because I know. That's why I told you her name is Miss Brown. So that's stuff about...
Okay, now look.
And you know, hang on, man. You ain't got much time. This has to do with slavery is a bunch of bogus, too. You know, the American Academy... No, I don't, because all blacks weren't involved in slavery. And in Ethiopia, they whooped their kids, and they were not colonized, and they were not enslaved. But let's forget about that. Here's another. This organization that you talk about did not admit its first black pediatricians until 1945. And they would not attend any meetings that were south of the Mason-Dixon line. So this organization don't is not no connoisseur of the discipline habits within, quote unquote, black society. He can't be. And people that follow these spokespersons, Dr. Phil and Dear Abby, they crazy as hell, I think.
Right. All right, now look, check this out. Again, this is a result of slavery. We can point to all the studies, and this is a result of slavery using physical punishment to correct human behavior. It doesn't
all
work.
Right, hang on.
It's
let me ask you a real quick question.
Jail
real
doesn't
quick
even
question.
Deter people from committing crime, so what are we talking about?
So blacks didn't. So a person with black skin never got their butt whooped until they hit these shores of America by their parents.
When you look at indigenous cultures, they typically did not beat their kids.
You're talking
no.
about Native Americans. I don't know anything about them. They ain't got nothing to do with it.
I'm talking about any indigenous culture on the planet before white people came
along. Ask you a real question now, Kevin. Are you telling me that black-skinned person, let's say Africans, they did not start getting butt whoopings until they got into this society when they was brought here? Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you that most indigenous cultures did not beat their kids.
Now you don't
went
to most. All right, let me tell you something. In those cultures,
because there's
in
no
Africa,
absolute in anything.
Well, it may not be, but I tell you what did happen, and you can read on it. And say the homies, when a chief died, they sacrificed as many as up to 500 people. They would take babies by the legs and bash them up against rocks and bust their brains out or sling them up in the air and wait till they come down and be impaled on a spear. So I don't know. I would rather get my butt whooped than have that go through. So to say that that
right,
did not happen to black people
else.
Until they experienced slavery is totally ridiculous.
On these shores over here, that is absolutely true. Now, look. I'm going to give you this. Now, I know this is a black woman, Dr. Stacy Patton. She says the use of corporal punishment in black communities today is a byproduct of centuries of slavery, the racial terrorism of the Jim Crow era, and exposure to racism that continues to chip away at the vitality of black life. Black parents have been encouraged to be a part of the dehumanization process of their black children since before America's founding. So,
well,
this
that lady's got
like,
something's
we,
wrong
we,
with
we
her
can
head.
Dispute and have our opinion, but these people study these things, and she's written extensively on these things. Like, it's not somebody just talking just
well,
to be talking.
But has she been challenged?
And line things up.
I ain't never heard of it. Has she been challenged?
And it doesn't matter either.
Yeah. Anyway, man, go ahead with your show. But that's I think you're wrong with that stuff. You blame too much stuff on slavery, man.
I mean, all things, all problems in our community. Thank you, Carla. Point back to slavery.
Oh, one more thing, Pianki.
Yes.
Pianki, can you hear me? You know that email that you sent? I hate to do this, but really fast. The email, can you resend it? Do you mind resending it? Because it got lost.
All right, I'll resend it to you. Sure. I'll send it to Disruptive Radio.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. And I'll forward that. All right, y'all. This Collective Minds, we're coming to the last few minutes of the show. It's been a good discussion. I've been the only one on the opposing side. I've been having to defend myself. But It's okay. Hopefully, we can get to a point where we can elevate and kind of turn the page on this because, again, I'm sticking with my stance. As parents, if we knew of better ways to discipline our children without physically beating them, because, again, we've learned the physicality part from slavery. So if we can find better ways to communicate, to be more proactive, to watch our kids, find better words to say, talk, I don't think we need to physically beat them. And then again, if they continue that behavior, then ultimately they're going to suffer the consequences. These children are not our property. They are for us to cultivate, give them the best environment so they can be the best person they be and go out into the world and do their thing. Period. They're not we don't own them. You know what I'm saying? These are human beings who are trying to find a way, and they're only a result of their environment, and they're a result of the parenting that we instill in them. So if anything, we should be looking at ourselves. What did we do to cause them to act out in this behavior? Where could we have done better in kind of offsetting this behavior? You see what I'm saying? But we don't want to, of course, we not going to whoop ourselves. You see what I'm saying? We're not going to beat ourselves. So the easiest thing is for us to beat them or give them a whooping when it could be something that we did, because, again, they're only responding to their environment and to what we've shown them and to what we've allowed them
plain,
to do.
Make it plain.
So that's my point. You know what I'm saying? I'm sticking with that. And then, you know, I'll let you guys get the last word on that. But thank you, Carlos. Thank you, everybody. This has been a great show. Appreciate you.
Brother Kev. I wish I had more time to go in on this property thing, because, yeah, anything fell out of my sack is my property. You my kids, you my property. Until you get out of my house and go do your own thing, your tail belong to me. Now, when you don't want to be my property and you ready to handle life, hit the road, handle your business. But until then, you fell out of me, out of my sack, you belong to me and your mama until you can handle your own business and take care of yourself. And I'm going to make sure that you handle your business accordingly and don't go out and do nothing foolish to get yourself in trouble. But we can talk about that property stuff at another time.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I wouldn't mind having a little bit more in-depth conversation with the property thing, too. I want to say something about it, but I won't touch it right now. One thing I will agree with Brother Kevin is that you said that if there was another way that we could change the situation or influence our child without whooping them, would we do that? Most reasonable people would, but it doesn't sound like you are talking about reasonable people. It sounds like you're talking about the people who have probably been abuse themselves. You're talking about the group of parents who may have struggles themselves, who don't know how to apply proper discipline. It sounds like you're talking about that group of people. We are speaking of just the general rational parents who are not beating their child. You don't wash the dishes and you come in all slamming them all around, smacking them all around, all the food not done. Who didn't leave the toilet seat? Who didn't put the toilet seat up? It's how you're talking about those types of parents, but we're talking about parents who know how to apply healthy discipline. When a child at some point is out of line continuously, then you apply another form of discipline. But with the point that I agree with, yeah, I'm sure we would do something else, because we had done something prior to us just whooping them in the first place, because, again, we're not beating them. We are trying to correct the behavior. But in order to do what you are suggesting, like I said before in the three, that's going to require us to go to school and learn, get a PhD in child psychology. We're not doing that. So we're going to apply a whooping if it's necessary and if it's needed. It's because to try to figure out another way to get to the bottom of something in the way that you're speaking of, that's going to require us to change our whole schooling and go to psychology and all kind of stuff. When I can just whoop this child, smack him in the mouth, or give him a little pat on the butt and tell him what to do, like the one caller said, one little time is more than likely gonna work. But
right, but then again, like I said, that's
crazy. I like to thank everybody. I like to thank my lady. I'm not gonna go to college and get no PhD in child psychology when I can whoop my child. So we'd like to thank everybody for calling in. This was a great topic. I would love to continue this again. But thanks for calling in. Tune in next week with us. We have another good discussion coming on next Sunday. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you have any show topics, ideas, please, we encourage everybody to send us ideas. Email us at collectivemind@yahoo.com. Peace. See you next week.
Hey. Collective.